Coming up on the show, I am joined with Emmanuel Iname, a guy who's got an interesting take on life, who can help clear the fog in your mind just by singing out loud in public. We get to know him and a lot more. So stay tuned and sit back, relax, and grab your favorite beverage, and I'll see you there. Hello and welcome to a very interesting episode of Inside the Asperger Studios. Today on the show, I'm joined with Emmanuel Emin, right? If I pronounce your last name right,
Iname.
Iname.
Yes, sir.
All the way from Croatia, where he believes that singing in public can help clear a cloudy or fogged up mind. So, Emmanuel, why don't you tell me a little bit about that and about yourself?
Okay. So I am Emmanuel Iname, and I am the character coach. And so the goal of a character coach is to help their pupil remain loving and productive in all environments, no matter the day, no matter the hour. And part of the reason for that is because as we go throughout life, we're going to experience a large number of things, things that want to steal our love, and things that influence us into being unproductive. And so the issue with that is it's a number of reasons, but the main ones I'll focus on is because then that's when people start to feel bad about themselves. It's like, I know I should be working on this this project, but I don't have the motivation or the energy or the drive. Or I know I should be developing relationships with my family, but I have unforgiveness against my family. And so not being loving and not being productive will lead to mental health issues, relationship issues, and it will actually lead to actual loss, dollar losses. Like, you will actually lose money because of this. And so my goal as a character coach is to help a person remain loving and productive in all environments that they should be in their life. And so the reason why, does that make sense?
Yeah, it kind of makes sense.
Okay. Do you need me to say something else to be a little bit more clear?
Or? No, that's fine.
Okay, but you mostly understand what I'm saying, why it's important to have that, have love and to be productive throughout life. So in regards to singing in public, well, one of the reasons why this helps is it helps get rid of mental fog, or more comprehensively helps, because to do such an exercise, that's going to help a person get over fear. And so And so, because one of the issues with fear is that, or I'll say with thoughts in general, is that once a thought starts, it can replicate and gain momentum and grow into larger and larger thoughts of positivity or negativity. And so with that said, one of the reasons to do such an exercise is to overcome fearful thoughts. And then additionally, the very important one is that we often can make decisions based on our worry about the opinions or potential opinions of other people. So I'll give an example. So a young lady, all of her friends are getting married and some of them are having kids, and her family is starting to put pressure on her to find out, hey, what's going on mm-hmm. with you? Or maybe her friends might be making like small jokes or something like that about her. And so when the thoughts of the thoughts of worry about what are they thinking about me? They're thinking I'm a loser, yada, yada, yada. When those thoughts of worry start to populate in that young woman's mind, it can cause her emotional systems to override her logical system. And so a new man that she meets, she sees things in him that aren't there, or she misses things that she should have caught. And so because she's constantly worried about the opinions or potential opinions of other people, then there's a high possibility that because she did not get victory over that, then she will end up in the wrong relationship. And so part of my goal is like, hey, let's help you get comprehensive victory over worrying about the potential opinions of other people. Because the thing about a person's character is, well, I guess let me define character. So character, it's those inner parts of a person that are present and active in all environments in life. So if I have doubt or fear, that is present and active in multiple environments, whether that be with family or taking on a new challenge or approaching random strangers on the street. So that part of my character needs to be improved, needs to be perfected. And so now going back to the situation with the young lady. So in regards to getting over the potential opinions of other people, that needs to be perfected. And that needs to be overcome. And so this way, when she goes into other environments, mm-hmm. that isn't affecting her planning. And so one of the reasons why that's important is that we make plans off of our beliefs. So there's a belief attached to a person's plans. And if our plans are not on a sound belief, then we'll run into problems with our plans. So that's essentially the
That kind of reminds me of like a friend of mine who's constantly looking back at the mistakes he's made in his life or that have happened to him, mm-hmm. or who's looked and seen others succeeding where he can't. And he's like, why can't he do this? And why is he this? And I can't do this. And I'm constantly telling him, you're not him. Everybody is different. Everyone has different things. You can't compare yourself to everyone. Everyone is unique in every single way. I finally got to him one day and we were talking about just some of the traits of autism. And I was telling him that I have a heightened sense of hearing and smell. He's like, I got a heightened sense of taste. And I'm like, well, there you go. There's your trait. You need to work on that trait alone and build on it. And this, instead of constantly looking back, you need to work forward.
So if you don't mind me asking, how did you discover what you said that you were trying to relate to your friend? So the point that you made was that, hey, everybody's different. Everybody's unique. And focus on your own uniqueness and improving that. How did you learn that, if you don't mind me asking?
My parents always used to tell me that you can't compare yourself to others. You, no matter if one person gets a job and you don't get it, maybe that person's got more qualifications than you. And I used to constantly be in my head of why is this person better than me? Why did he get the job? We apply. My mom and my parents would always be, you can't be like that because everybody's different. Everyone either has different qualifications or it's different or it's better. And you just can't be that way. And it, I just, and then along the way, I accepted that. And I'm like, I'm no longer going to compare myself to others because it's just going to tear me down.
Okay. And that's very, very good because we all get caught up in that. And so it's important to, to give victory over that, trying to compare ourselves to other people, oftentimes trying to copy other people because it's like, oh, this person's successful. Let me do exactly what they're doing. And so go ahead. What were you about to say?
And then I had another friend who I brought this up to, and he's like, well, you need to tell him that he needs to find what he's good at and then work on that. He's like, find what you're good at and turn that into something.
Okay.
Because he's like, you got to tell him that regret is that little green monster that will show up and destroy your life.
Yeah. Okay. And so once you finally had that, that conversation with him about his sense of taste was super strong.
Sense of taste. We were talking about heightened senses and he brought up, oh yeah, I have this heightened sense of taste where I can tell the difference in bottled water from one to another. I can taste what's in it. And I'm like, there's nothing in water. He's like, yes, there is. I'm like, do you mean like the fluoride in the waters or the different minerals? He's like, yeah, bottled waters taste a little bit more bitter and some taste have a more of a fresher taste. And those are the ones that like it. I pull them out for myself. I'm like, can you tell when you eat something, if something, what's in it? He's like, yeah.
Okay.
I'm like, there you go. There is your trait. Because he kept thinking that he had no traits.
Oh. There's
your trait and you need to build from that.
Oh, okay. So he had come into some sort of belief system that he didn't have anything to offer the world.
No, he's always been down on himself because he's dealing with severe issues of ADHD and he's dealing with his autism. He's also got POTS and he's dealing with depression. And he was constantly looking back at everything that's happened in his life and how he can't find work and all this. I'm like, and I keep telling him, it's not about finding the job. There are a lot of us like you who don't have work, who've made something of our own. You got to look into that. Find something you're good at and do it and become your own boss.
Okay. Okay.
He's like, but I want to be part of society. I'm like, become your own boss and you are part of society.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so he had gotten it to himself maybe because of, I guess, a lot of setbacks in life or disappointments that he's like, I just don't have anything.
Self-doubt.
Okay. And
his self-doubt is what basically tore himself down to almost rock bottom.
Okay, so do you think that, or what's your opinion on this, that if parents instill into their child hope and faith and confidence, that will help them overcome self-doubt in life?
Yeah, most of the time, yes. I mean, but for him, his parents are very old school. His father is constantly on him, calling him lazy, because he doesn't understand his disability. Okay. And I know it bears on him. It's the weight that bears on him.
Okay. Okay.
So I constantly, what I call tough love with him. I won't belittle him, but I'll sit there and tear him down and then build him back up. I'm like, listen, you got to understand what I say things to you, not to hurt you, but to build on you. So you get a tougher skin to the fact that you can, the minute you step out into the world, you're a tougher person, and you're not going to sit there and wait for people to give you, oh, you're good looking. You don't need that. Mm-hmm. You got to know it inside first.
Okay. And so you help him get rid of those little green monsters that,
yes,
that try and drag a person down and make them feel self-doubt, worry, fear. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Yeah, that's important. And how did you guys end up becoming friends? Or how did you meet?
We met on Facebook through an autism group.
I see. Okay.
And we stuck to becoming friends since.
Okay. And how long have you guys been friends?
Over a year.
Okay. All right, cool. Yeah, that's another one of those things that's important to help a person clear up mental fog is, mm-hmm, having people that you can count on, people that you can speak to, people that you can share your thoughts and worries with, or that you can share your triumphs with. And so it's important to have people like you to encourage a friend that's down, or a family member that might be down, or to rejoice with a family member. Because so I'll speak in a parable here. This life is a game, and built into this game called life is difficulty and tragedy. And we have an opponent in this game called life. And part of the opponent's job is to strategically talk trash to people. And so I'll say this, every thought that enters into a human being's head is not coming from that human being, because our opponent in this game called life, he wants to get people down, and he wants people to feel despair, and he wants to turn that little monster in your head into a raging beast, to the point where people just might not even want to get out of bed in the morning. And so it's important for people to understand this, and this way people can better understand how to combat that voice. And part of combating that voice is having friends that speak hope and joy and peace and happiness into a person's life. And so, because otherwise our opponent will just fill our head with all sorts of stuff. And this is how people get overwhelmed in their thoughts. And this is where that term mental fog or mental clutter comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, you call yourself a character coach. How did you come across that?
I went on a journey. God told me to go to Germany in the month of August, and I also moved to Croatia in September. And this journey, my goodness, it reminded me of the Sonic the Hedgehog video game. I don't know if you remember this video game, but where Sonic is like running all over the place and he's just picking up coins everywhere, and he's going to different levels and different dimensions, and he's on this journey to get to a point. And that's what it was like for me. It's like I'm on this journey, I'm discovering all of these things, I'm talking to so many random strangers and random people on the street in Germany and even here in Croatia. And it's, I know that I'm going somewhere. So I knew that I was going somewhere. The exact point, I did not 100% know. And so in the process, I'm learning all of these things. And then I came to more fully understand what God was doing. And so he was perfecting my character. So, and part of his hope and just the character coach in general's hope is that, hey, I can take you, my pupil, and put you into any environment that you need to be in, and you're going to remain loving and productive, and you're going to remain pleasant to be around, and people are going to enjoy your character. And so that's the goal of a character coach. And that was God's goal, or I should say that's God's goal in my life in general, is to let's shape him up, improve his character, help him overcome fears, worries, help him hit better notes when he's singing. And as we continue to perfect him, then we can move him into this environment, move him into that environment, and his character remains the same, and he's pleasant, and people enjoy being around him, right? Or interacting and working with him. And so in this process, God let me discover what it is that he was doing. And then he called upon me to do the same with others, to help people get to that point where they are improving their character day in and day out. And so this is how I came to the point of becoming a character coach. And
all right,
it's exciting because just having your character transformed, it's like you can literally feel that your life is changing. It's like Yeah, that's the best way I can describe it. It's like I can feel it. Maybe I need to write a poem about it to be able to communicate that to other people. But yeah, it's a beautiful process, and it's lovely because then I can help people in life and help them become more stable and loving and industrious in multiple environments in their life.
All right. What kind of acclaim have you gotten from telling people about singing in public? Have they come back to you and said it's helped them? Or have you had people say they're scared to do it and then you got to like slowly convince them it will help you break that barrier of fear?
So I have just officially started working in my purpose as of January. And so right now my process is this: first, to help people understand some of the fundamentals and tools in order to play this game called life. First, people need to understand and believe that these things will help them. And then when the time is right, then I'll call on people to sing in public. So I haven't offered that training exercise yet. But so first I need to put out some fundamentals. Then I'll show myself doing it, which I've done already. And I'll explain, break it down, why this is beneficial. And then I'll call on people. I have talked about it with people, and I've gotten a couple of podcast hosts to sing with me. I don't know, maybe you want to join in and singing.
No, I'm not a good singer.
No, happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, because I know it's somebody's birthday. Happy birthday to you. There you go. Stepping out a little bit, sir. Stepping out. I like it.
Has it worked for you?
Yeah.
Have you like walked out in public and just started singing?
I have. Sometimes I'm just walking down the street singing, but oftentimes I go into the main square in Zagreb and I'm singing at a very high volume. And I would say that you could hear me about 50 meters away.
Wow.
Yeah. And so it's definitely helped me get over my worry or overcome my worries about the potential opinions of other people. And so, because in walking with God and following some of his leadings, there's some strange things that occur. And so if I look at the strange things and I'm like, God, this is too strange for me to do, then I'm not going to get the full benefit of the character development that he has for me. And I will say that I would not have discovered my God-given purpose had I not done that. And so yeah, it's helped me become much more bold and also to say, well, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and step out and do this activity or that activity. And people might look and say, okay, this guy is strange. But if it's a matter of God calling me to do it, then I know it's good for other people. And not just good for me. It's going to be something that's in there that I can help other people out with. And so, for example, one thing that God has been doing a lot to me is telling me, slow down, slow down. So I'm like, trying to hurry up and finish an email, or trying to hurry up and finish something that I'm working on. Or when I'm walking down the street, I might be moving very, very quickly. It's like, slow down, slow down. And I've noticed that since I've been obedient to that, I'm like, oh, I was making a lot of mistakes by trying to hurry up and finish something so I can get on to the next activity or to keep my workload from piling up. And so it's like, slow down, slow down. And one thing that's also helped me to slow down is for some important things that I need to do, I write out what it is I want to communicate. And so, because that writing makes me have to sit back and think more before the next sentence comes out. And I think this will be beneficial for a lot of people, because I know that this happens in offices and the workplace, where people are, they're trying to hurry up and get through their emails and miss something important. And that can lead to actual dollar losses.
Yes. Yeah. Because I think a lot of people who are in jobs, they've been in it for a long time. They become malplacent. They become like a robot. It just becomes a routine, and they don't sit back and think, I need to slow down. And thus, if they don't slow down, they don't see the mistakes they make, and anything from budgeting to anything like this. And it could cost, like you said, it could cost them their job or money.
Or yeah, it's productivity losses, or they having to go back and redo something, or some sort of costly mistake. Now, I understand that if someone is trying to get home from work and they're having to walk through the hawk, I understand why someone will want to rush home.
Now, have you had people come watch you sing while you were singing in the square?
Come watch me sing?
Hear you sing and then come see what's going on and then just stand there watching you.
Yes, I have. Matter of fact, I remember one time, this is maybe a month ago. This was a gentleman from a Baptist fellowship that I had met sometime. Him and his kids walked up, so I'm singing, and then I see them coming in from the left, and then I look, I'm like, oh, hey. Him and his kids come over, and they're like, this guy's singing at the top of his lungs. But they came over to say hello, and then went about their day. But yeah, so I would say that I meet a number of people as I'm participating in this this training exercise for myself. Yeah. So when I'm out there right now, about every other Sunday, that's more so for myself, and also to spread some joy and laughter, because I sing other songs as well. The wheels on the bus go round and round. Or baby shark do 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 do, baby shark do 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 do. And then what's another one? Ah, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. And so that's a good one that brings some.
So you sing mostly children's songs.
I safe things. Yeah. So I have to be mindful also of what I'm putting out. And so safe songs, and families walk by and kids are like, ah. Yeah. So essentially wishing people a good day, spreading joy, and then also to give a little boost heading into the next week.
So what kind of accolations do you think you're going to get once you start teaching this to people? Do you feel you'll get a good people come up to you and say they're going to try it? Do you think people are going to be scared of it? Because a lot of people are scared of just public, of doing something in public due to just the fear of doing something in public.
I would say that I do expect that people will have some reservations, and I'm confident that one thing that will help people is when I clearly explain the points and the rationale behind why I do that and why I'm offering that. And so that I'll be teaching through my Instagram is to help people understand, like, hey, this is actually something that can benefit you. And being able to push back against that little green monster in the head who's like, nah, don't do that. No. They're going to make fun of you. They're looking, look, those people are laughing at you. It's like, no, push through. I'm going to overcome this because I'm not going to let that green monster affect me in other environments where I have to make some serious plans, like maybe buying a house. Like I'm not gonna buy a house because I'm worried about the opinions of other people. I'm gonna get that out of my plans. Yeah. And so
has it helped you?
Has it helped me? I'll say that had I not done this, I would not have discovered my God-given purpose. And so in regards to helping me, yes, because it helped me literally find my job. And so there were a couple of other things, or I shouldn't say a couple, there were a number of other things that I had to do to improve my character. And and the same thing with those things. Had I not done those things, like, for example, started writing poetry, and a couple of times I went up to strangers on the street, I approached strangers and read poems to them. Had I not done a large number of these things, then I would not have been able to discover my job. Yeah. And so, yeah. And then also the that feeling of it's like, man, I was able through the strength of God to overcome these limiting beliefs, these things that were holding me back. And with that said, it's like, man, other people can do this. They can push those voices in their head out. They can push that mental fogginess and clutter out and get mental clarity and peace of mind. And so this is one of the reasons why I remain hopeful and joyful because it's like, man, if I was able to achieve this and then I found out the importance and some of the limiting, some of the things that can limit a person in said training exercise, then I'm looking forward to helping out other people in the future.
All right. Now, you call yourself a father to the fatherless. Would you explain that?
So that falls under the same umbrella, because part of being a father is preparing your children for the difficulties in life, the inevitable difficulties. And so part of that is preparing your children's character for those difficult times, because it's those difficult times where people are more susceptible to sinking really low. And that's where our opponent in this game called life comes, and he kicks a person when they're down. And so this is part of my work, to help people like to know their opponent and to know strategies and tools and fundamentals to put into place in order to be victorious during the difficult times. Yeah. And so this has been a good year, because I'm officially kicking off my work, and I'm looking forward. Maybe I find myself in Chicago at some point in this life. And
so where did you said you went from Germany to Croatia. Where were you before Germany?
Oh, I had been in Croatia also. Yes, sir.
So you were Croatia, back to Germany, and then you moved back to Croatia.
Croatia, Germany, Croatia. Yes, sir.
So that must have been quite a calling to have this go back to where you started from.
God does strange things.
Yes, he does.
That's one thing that I've discovered. And for me, it's like, hey, you know what? Since I've been following, it's become more and more apparent that I should continue following, because there's always some sort of coin or golden nugget along the way. And so, it's good. I'm happy to have made it to this point. And I'm hoping that many other people in this life will hear, will see, and follow.
Very interesting. What is your life? How has your life been since the move? I can tell you have a smile has not left your face. You speak with happiness. Uh-huh. I can hear it in your voice. So the move back home must have really lifted those spirits of yours.
When you say the move back home, what do you mean?
To move back to Croatia.
Ah, okay.
When you went back to Croatia and then you got this message from God to teach people to be this character coach, it must have made you feel accomplished to be teaching people about how to clear their minds.
Well, I would say that it's kind of been this snowball effect in a general. It's like each and every day, it's like the happiness and joy continues to grow and grow and grow. And it's strange, but that's how it literally feels. It's like the snowball that just keeps rolling and gaining momentum. Now, I'm not saying that I haven't had some of those days where I'm like, oh man, what am I going to do? How am I going to handle this? How is that going to happen? Like, oh, I got all of this stuff that I need to take care of. I'm not saying that I have not had those, but what's important is that eventually I realize, stop worrying, stop fretting, look to the Savior, and you'll be back in shape. And so this is what I've been doing moving forward. And it's just kind of this continued snowball and growth. And so I'm very, very, very happy. Yeah.
Well, I just want to wish you luck in everything you do. Hopefully, I hope your teachings of singing in public work for the masses, and you help everyone out there in Croatia clear the fog in their mind, and want to wish you a great day.
Sir, it was a pleasure to speak with you, and I wish you and your friends a good day as well, and I wish the city of Chicago a good day.
All right. This is Reed Miles from Inside the Asperger Studios talking with Emmanuel M&A. Nice talking with you, M&A.
All righty, sir.
The way things used to be, I'm no big fan of now. I must have some sweeter memories somewhere in the cloud. Welcome to the new normal. Welcome to the new normal. Welcome to the new normal. Shout. Welcome to the new normal. Gonna miss all you used to be, gonna miss all you had, consigned to the dustbins of history like opinions from your dad. Welcome to the new normal. Welcome to the new normal. Welcome to the new normal. Shout. Talk to the freaks, you can talk to just about anybody you happen to meet. It ain't what it was, and it